Now, if you're making notes, there's three things you can write down. The Bible teaches about repentance. The Bible teaches, number one, that there is true repentance. You really can repent, and you really can be forgiven, and you can start life over anew. You say, how do you know? Because I'm living proof. I should already be in a devil's hell, and many of you would agree you shouldn't be here tonight. And you repented, God forgave you, covered your sins by the blood, never to be remembered against you again. And you're alive tonight, sitting under this tent, with your sins forgiven. And God heard your confession, and He forgave you. That's true repentance. In the New Testament, we find a couple of illustrations of true repentance. We find a publican. He repented. And you say, well, Brother Ralph, how do you know that's a true repentance? Because he beat upon his breast, his chest, and he said, I'm not even worthy to look up to heaven, let alone be forgiven. And that's a symbol, that humility, that brokenness of true repentance. He didn't sign a banana and be one of the bunch. He didn't go through religious ritual. He got broken. He couldn't believe God had given him a chance, and he genuinely repented. There's another repentance in the New Testament that's genuine. It's the prodigal son. He went out. He went against his father. He went against the grace and mercy of his father. He went against the love of his father, the rules of his father's house. He got out into open sin and wickedness. And while he was down in the hog pens of sin, he was actually a prince in his land because of the wealth of his father. And he's down there living in the hog pen. He has nothing to eat, no place to sleep. And he says, you know what? My daddy's servants live better than this. My daddy's servants, the guys that clean out the stables, the guys that care for the camels, they live better than this. I'm going to go home. I'm going to ask daddy to forgive me. And I don't want to be a son anymore. I just want to be a servant. I'm tired of this lifestyle. And he went home and begged for forgiveness, and he repented. And he said, Dad, I'm not even worthy to be called a son. I just want to be a servant. Any person that's ever realized where you were when God found you and dug you out of the miry pits of sin, wickedness, and ungodliness, you can't even get over the fact that God would look your way, let alone save you by His marvelous grace. And you know you're not worthy to be a son or a daughter in the household of faith, but you are so thankful and so grateful for the mercy and love of a holy God. True repentance. Now, the Bible also teaches something powerful. It teaches that there is false repentance. You say, what are you talking about? Well, let me just give you a couple. One from the Old Testament. And let me give you one from the New. In the Old Testament, there was a Pharaoh. And he got mixed up with Moses and the children of Israel. And when he began to get more and more wicked and vile, and God dealt with Moses, and he said, Moses, you take your brother Aaron, you go down there, and you tell the Pharaoh, let my people go. And the Pharaoh said, I'm not giving up all this cheap labor. How are we going to build our pyramids? And how are we going to build our palaces? And how are we going to build our fancy memorials? I'm not giving up all this labor. And God said, well, if you don't give them up, there's going to be plagues on the land. And he said, well, you ain't scaring me. I don't even believe in your God. He's not real. The next time he turned around, he had flies in his house. And flies in his eyes. And flies in his ears. And he said, this is unbearable. I can't stand these old black biting flies. And so they began to repent and said, you know what? Maybe there is a real God. I don't know. We don't believe in Him. But let's go tell Moses. Maybe he'll get rid of the flies. And he repented. He said, I'm sorry I've offended you, Moses, and your God, whoever he may be. You think you'd do something about these flies? And he repented, but he didn't mean it. And then, next thing you know, you turn around, and there's frogs in his suit. and frogs in his bed, and frogs in his stereo, and frogs in the carburetor of his chariot, and everything has got frogs in it. And so he started repenting, and he said, "You know what? I messed up. Maybe there is a God." And he said, "Moses, I'm sorry, and I've sinned against your God." And he repented. But you know what? He didn't mean that. That was false repentance. There is true repentance, and there is false repentance. You know what he wanted to do? He just wanted to get the pressure off. Now, you listen to me right here. There are people sitting on the church pew that went to the altar to get the pressure off of family, of friends, of husbands, of wives. "If you'll shut up, I'll go up front." But they've never been changed. Does that make sense? That's what's killing our churches. We've got a lot of people going to church, a lot of people carrying Bibles, but we don't bear much fruit of being changed by the power of God. And the danger is that you would sit in church with a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof because you've never been changed. And so there is a false repentance. And this man repented over blood in the water. He repented over dark, everything. And even the firstborn son. And God finally, because his repentance was even false, God finally had to drown him and his army. Because he never was sincere in his repentance. And when you are not sincere and you're phony with God, then the next event on your calendar of life is judgment. There's no other answer other than judgment if you don't repent. The most important thing for you to remember, for me to remember, is that you and I have intercepted the grace of God, the mercy of God, the presence of God, and if we tonight are not sincere, we need to search our hearts, look on the inside, and say, "Have I repented because I wanted the pressure off? I just wanted to change the circumstance?" You say, "Well, what's another false repentance?" Listen to this. There was a man that traveled with Jesus. There was a man that ate beside Jesus. There's a man that got on the boat with him on Galilee and sailed with him. There's a man that walked beside him and shared conversation. They broke bread together. They dipped their broken pita bread into the sop and shared it together. His name was Judas Iscariot. And when Jesus was over on the Mount of Olives and in the Garden of Gethsemane, weeping and crying over the souls of men and those that should be born, and he travailed until the capillaries of his skin broke open and he began to weep blood from his skin, Judas Iscariot came up to the Lamb of God and kissed him on the cheek. And he's the only human being that ever kissed the door to heaven and went to hell. He had the blood of Jesus on his lips, but he didn't have it on his heart. That's how close you can be. That's why I'm frightened. That's why I'm upset that there are people in church that are not right with God. You say, "Well, how do I know?" Because they've never been changed. Our conversation's not changed. What we listen to is not changed. What we watch is not changed. And who we hang with is not changed. So how can we say we've been changed? We'll never turn this world upside down till we're changed. We'll never set this world on fire until we've been changed by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is true repentance. There is false repentance. But you watch this. There's repentance too late. Adonijah repented. He found forgiveness. He backslid and it cost him his life. But watch what happened to Joab. 1 Kings chapter 1, 1 Kings chapter 2. Joab used the house of God. for a psychiatric couch. There are literally men, young ladies, you listen to me. If you're of dating age and you're thinking about dating someone or marrying someone, you just remember, as somebody has really been saved and born again, they won't have any trouble going to church with you before you marry them. And if he's got the goods, he'll go to church with you after. There's a problem when the only time he goes to church is to get what he wants, and then he never comes back to the house of God. Huh? You know what that is? That's a false repentance. Hey, true repentance, false repentance, repentance too late. Joab repented too late. What about that crowd outside Noah's Ark? Hey, how many times they come by there making fun? Look at Noah, that idiot. He goes over there in one of those independent Baptist churches. What's wrong with him? He believes that King James Bible is inerrant, infallible, Word of God. There's always been mockers. That's nothing new. There's always been people making fun of people that believe the Bible's the Word of God. They believe God's man. They believe in the preached Word of God. There's always been people like that. It doesn't matter if you go to the Church of God, the Church of the Nazarene. Doesn't matter Presbyterian or Methodist. If you're serving God and honoring God, somebody's going to make fun of you for serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's always been scoffers. There's always been mockers. But watch this. One day, they came by, and he wasn't hammering and nailing anymore. The pitch, he wasn't pitching anything anymore. It's all sealed up. And he's standing out there, and all of a sudden clouds are gathered. They'd never seen that. Until Noah, it never rained. God watered it from the mist and the earth, and there wasn't any rain. And all of a sudden, the clouds are getting dark, and Noah's standing out there, and all these animals are walking by, two by two. And they say, "Hey, what are you doing, Noah?" We're close. We're close. God called the animals last night, and I sure don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to be left behind. I'm going to beg you one more time, turn your life over to God. Don't miss it. We're getting close. God's called the animals in. If he's loading the animals, I bet we're next. If God's loading the animals, if the prophecies are being fulfilled, I bet we're next. If all the signs are in the heavens and the stars, I bet we're next. If Israel's gone home, I bet we're next. If the Jew is being used to fulfill, I bet we're next. Don't miss it. Don't be left behind. Get on the ship of Zion. Don't miss it. We're getting ready to sail out of here. At any moment, God could blow the shofar of glory. And the door could close. And there'll be no more second chance. Don't repent too late. Get on board, little children. Get on board. Oh, get on board. We're getting ready to sail out of here. Do you understand how close we are tonight? Now watch what happened when Noah was on the inside. On the outside was all those people he had preached to and said, any day, you could be left behind. They went home, they went by, they didn't pay any attention. But something happened. When they went by, they went home, they're sitting there, and all of a sudden the ground began to vibrate, began to shake, earthquakes. The fountains of the deep broke open. And in case you don't know this scientifically, you are the first generation since Noah's day that has lived through the breaking open of the fountains of the deep. And one night next week, I'll document for you the mountain being moved, the island being moved, and the fountains of the deep being broken open. Since the days of Noah, there has been no one been on planet Earth when the fountains broke open until you, this generation. And I'll explain to you when it happened and where it happened and the hundreds and thousands of people that died when it happened. And all God was doing is telling you and me, a Bible believer, that's how close we are to the final judgment. Please pay attention. Hadn't happened since Noah's day. Now it's happened. Now watch what happens. They're sitting there. All of a sudden the earth begins to break. Fountains of the deep are breaking open. And geysers of water begin to come out of the earth. Rain begins. And all of a sudden kids say, "What's that on the house, Granddaddy?" And they say, I don't know. And they walk out and big old raindrops are falling. He said, I'm 700 years old. I've never seen that. And the kid said, "What is that? Water's falling." "I don't know. I've never seen it." And all of a sudden the wife begins to say, Hey, so look, you guys." And he opened the back door and water's coming up. The creek's rising. And in a matter of an hour, it's coming into the kitchen. In 2 hours, what are we going to do? And the wife said, Honey, run, let's go down to Noah's. Let's get on that big boat." And he said, "Are you crazy? He's a religious idiot. He's a laughing stock of the neighborhood. Everybody in this gated community thinks he's a nut. We're not going to go down there. But I'm scared. I'm afraid." And the kids start saying, please, Daddy, let's go down there. Let's go down there and get on that boat. I don't want to die during the night." And the water begins to come in the house. He said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go down there, but don't you tell anybody. If they ask you at school tomorrow, don't you admit nothing. We're going to go down there, and before daylight, we'll leave. If you'll feel better, we'll go." And they ran down there, and they got on the ark, they thought. But when they got down there, what had happened? The door was closed. Noah. "Hey, Noah, can you hear us? It's Bill and Sue. You know, we're four driveways down. Noah, can you hear us?" Noah, there's something strange going on out here. Noah, could you open this big door? The kids are crying." "Hey, Noah, I know I've razzed you. I know I've given you a..." Hey, Noah, it's getting serious out here. Noah! Come on, man. I can't hold this baby up anymore. Noah, the water's coming up around our face. Noah, please. Oh, God, we're sorry. Noah, please let us in. Noah, we don't want to drown. Oh, Noah! Noah! Oh, they repented. They repented 100 times. They repented 1,000 times. But they repented too late. You can be in church all your life. You can hear preacher after preacher, singer after singer. And if you forget this principle, there's true repentance, there's false, phony repentance, and there is repentance too late. And there's not an accident under this old campus cathedral tonight. God had you here that you wouldn't die and go to hell off a church pew. You wouldn't die and go to hell out of a church youth group. That there really is a heaven, there really is a hell, and that you would not repent too late. Joab repented too late. Noah's generation repented too late. Read on in the New Testament, there were 5 wise virgins and 5 foolish virgins. And while they were gone to get oil atop of the Holy Ghost, the bridegroom came and they were left behind. And what did they do? They knocked on the door and said, "Open unto us." And they repented, but they repented too late. Do you understand? You can be in a service like this, and an hour from now, you can be in the emergency room repenting. Do you understand that? Do you understand 2 hours from now, the trumpet of God can sound and the dead in Christ rise first, and you watch your family and friends leave and you be left behind and you'll start repenting? Guess what people will do tonight when Jesus comes? They'll drive up to this tent and they'll start getting on these altars. "God, I'm sorry. I didn't believe Brother Ralph is going to be this soon. Oh, God, I don't want to go to hell. God, don't leave me behind. Don't take my mama and daddy. Oh, God, don't take my sister, my brother. Oh, please, God, I'm at the tent. I'm repenting. Too late. Left behind. Do you understand the crisis there? There are going to be people drive to their church. No one's going to be there. They're going to break the door in thinking if they can get in the church building, there'll be something about the building save them. But it'll be too late. There are going to be mamas and daddies at the midnight hour and the trumpet God sound. And they're going to hear a noise and think, those moms, they have radar. They can hear those babies turn over in the crib. And she's going to say, I think I hear the baby. She's going to jump up and she's going to go down the hall. Baby? Where's the... Oh, God! Honey! Honey, get in here! The baby's missing! What do you mean the baby's missing? And he takes the blankets up and pulls the mattress up and pulls the crib out from the... Where's our baby? Oh, God, somebody got in the house. Check the window. And they'll check the window and they'll begin, honey, run next door to Mama's house. Get her and Daddy to come over here. Somebody's stolen our baby during the night. Oh, God, help us. And he pulls on his jeans and he runs next door and he says, oh, good, they're up late. The light's on. And he knocks on the door and nobody comes and he tries it. It's unlocked. And there's a rocking chair, and there's that old Bible, and there's her little fuzzy slippers and Mama's bathrobe, and he sees the Bible's open. Matthew, for in such an hour as you think not, behold, the Son of Man cometh, and those tear stains are on it. And he says, oh, no, surely not. No, 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 that can't be what happened. And he runs back there to the bedroom where Daddy is, and he sees that pulls back the covers, and there's his pajamas. Daddy's gone. Mama's gone. And he runs next door and he says, baby, oh, God, baby, we missed it. Oh, Mama's gone. Daddy's gone. We're left behind. And they'll drop on their knees and they will repent. And they'll repent again. And they'll get in the car and they'll drive to the church and they'll repent again. And they'll drive on top of Lookout Mountain in Chattanooga and they'll repent. They'll drive up on Mount Mitchell and they'll repent. And they'll go to Rome Mountain trying to get to God and they'll repent. And it won't be long till they'll be begging those rocks to roll over and hide them from the wrath of an angry God. New Agers are moving into the mountains of East Tennessee, Southern Virginia, Northern Georgia, Western Carolina, by the thousands every year. I interviewed one of them and he said, it's a place of safety. We're being told by the spirit channelers to move to the mountains because a judgment's coming and we need to hide in the mountains. They're already getting ready for the tribulation. And people will repent too late. The worst thing that could happen, you say, well, you've offended me, I won't come back next week. There may not be anyone here next week but me and the Shavens. But I have to answer to God that there are people on church pews that have gone to the altar for the wrong motivation. They've gone for a psychological experience. Listen, people have gone to the altar after the Christmas party at office and work, gotten drunk, danced with somebody else's husband or wife, and got to feeling guilty and went to church and went to the altar and said, I'm sorry, God, forgive me. And the whole time they are in the altar, they're already planning to go to the New Year's Eve party. That's not real. They feel better. It's a psychological release, but it's not soul salvation. The devil's a dammer. Do you understand me? He doesn't play fair. He wants your soul. And he doesn't care if you sit on a church pew while you die and go to hell. He wants your soul. He doesn't play fair. You need to know that you're born again. Doesn't matter if you're a preacher, doesn't matter if you're a deacon, doesn't matter if you're a pastor's wife, Sunday school teacher, it doesn't matter how long you've been in church, you've got to know there's true repentance, there's false repentance, and there's a great day coming of false repentance too late. Evangelist Sam Sparks was preaching in Arkansas. And they were in a service much like this. They'd been in the third week. A holy hush hit that meeting. A great burden hit Brother Sam. He told me, he said, Ralph, he was like I was a minute ago. He felt like he couldn't preach that night. I feel like a truck sitting on me. Just that burden. And he said, God put a holy hush in that building. You could hear your heartbeat. God was dealing with people. They were looking sometimes as adults for the first time on the inside. And he said, came to the invitation, and he said, I don't know why I did this. I got so burdened. I went to the back of the church and said, I'm begging you tonight, please don't leave. Don't move. Don't leave until you know you're right with God. Please don't leave. I'm begging you. I've never felt such a burden. And he said, two beautiful young ladies in their late teens were sitting about three rows from the back. And when he said every head bowed, every eye closed, those two young ladies grabbed their purses and their jackets and they tiptoed quietly to the back door. And Sam said, I don't know why I did this, Ralph, but he said, instinctively, I went, no. I put my hands up, and he's a big old fella, 6'6" tall, and he put his hands and blocked that door. And he said, one girl went under his arm on the left, and one girl went under his arm on the right, and they snickered and said, Brother Sam, and he stopped and turned around, and they said, Brother Sam, we like you. We know you're sincere. You care about us, but we're going to a dance, and our boyfriends are going to pick us up. But you're not going to believe this. We were talking tonight in the song service. We both know we're lost. We both know we need to get right with God. And you're so sweet, Preacher Sam, we're going to come back tomorrow night and we're going to get saved. We're going to get right with God. Don't worry about us. We'll be back tomorrow night. We promise. And they both raised their little hands and said, we promise. We'll be back tomorrow night. And they little waved at him. And got their coats on and went out the door. There were four steps down and then a long sidewalk and then five steps down to the main street. Across the street from the church was a hill came down and a big stone wall, 7-8 foot stone wall that was the holes of the yard of the church in, went down to the parking area. Brother Sam said those girls had no more gone down those two sets of steps. And he said, I heard tires screeching. And he said, then I heard screams. And then I heard a crash. And he said, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I was paralyzed. And I bursted open those doors and ran out. And a drunk driver had come down that hill. And he had not seen that the road T-bone into that wall. And when he saw what he was doing, his reflexes were so dull that when he stomped on the brakes, it was too late. And he crushed both of those girls into that stone wall and killed them instantly. Less than 60 seconds after they said, tomorrow night, I'll get saved. Less than 100 feet from where they ducked under his arms, they went to eternity. I'm telling you tonight, you need to know you can't play with the Spirit of God. And the thing we've lost off this generation is a fear of God and a fear of His Holy Spirit. There is true repentance, there's false repentance, and there's repentance that comes too late.